began our liturgy this morning singing that hymn from Wonder, Love, and Praise. That hymn whose first words are, "Signs of endings all around us." Sounds a little bleak, doesn't it? And yet, it seems fitting for where we are. Certainly, the last few days have felt more like fall really is transitioning into winter. Well, it feels more like fall is here. We have some cold weather. Leaves are falling. Those plants which have been blooming beautifully throughout the growing season are coming to the end of their life cycle for this time. And as hard as it might be to believe, Advent is a mere 3 weeks away. I thought you'd say that. Signs of endings all around us. Endings can be difficult. For some of us, it's very challenging knowing winter is coming. It means cold. It means certainly challenges for mobility. And it has dire consequences for those who live on the street. Seeing signs of mortality in nature as leaves drop and plants die back can remind us perhaps even of our own mortality. Signs of endings all around us. And certainly the news has not helped us to feel hopeful and cheery. Just last Sunday, 26 people gathered in church to worship, to pray, were gunned down. New tensions are emerging in the Middle East between Saudi Arabia and Iran, wondering if there's yet a new place that war might emerge. Questions about the tax reform being negotiated in Congress, will it help or hurt poor and middle-class families? And then, a surreal scene on Thursday with a state police cruiser stolen, a high-speed chase through the city, and police firing on suspects on an I-95 on-ramp in our city. And of course, all caught on video so we could watch that fateful moment. It's not surprising, I think, that this could all leave us feeling a bit unsettled, a bit uneasy. Perhaps you came here this morning thinking, I'll come to church, there'll be peace. I'll hear comforting words. These readings could offer me some reassurance in these unsettled times. I don't know about you, but I don't hear that so much in our readings today. We are slowly making our shift into Advent, and the themes are instead watching, waiting, being prepared, and one we're not so comfortable with, judgment. So these may not be exactly the readings we came hoping in our search for peace and for comfort this day. Which takes us right to the gospel, where Jesus tells a parable. "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this," he starts, and tells that parable of the wise and the foolish bridesmaids. And it is itself a parable calling us to be ready, to be on the lookout for the return of Jesus. After the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, early Christians thought Jesus would come back very soon, and they were expectant and waiting. They were ready. But then months stretched into years, into decades, into centuries. What does it mean then to be waiting for something that isn't happening? Something we have no idea when it will happen. How do we live being ready for the moment of Jesus' return? And so we have this parable from Matthew of the wise and the foolish bridesmaids teaching us about living with urgency. Whether we are asleep or awake, we need to be prepared. We need to be ready for the moment. And the trouble is that those who were foolish, they didn't do that work. They weren't prepared. They didn't have their oil, and so they had to go out and buy more. Then when the bridegroom comes, they don't have oil. They're not there. They miss the feast. For when they return, it's too late. That door's been locked, and they are on the outside. And worse, the bridegroom says, "Sorry, I don't know you." So Matthew is reminding the followers of Jesus to be ready, that though Jesus seems to be delayed in returning, that moment when he comes again in glory seems not to be so imminent, yet we are called to live as though it is, to live being expectant, to live waiting. And certainly that's challenging to do, for 2 millennia later we still wait. And it is true that in our present age there are many things to distract us, to divert our attention for being prepared. But Matthew reminds us of the cost of this. If we are not prepared, we will not be ready for that moment to accept that invitation to the feast. We might find ourselves not ready to enter we might find the door not opening to us. So that leads to the question, how do we live by expectation, live in a state of watching and waiting? Matthew is quite clear in his gospel what that means. He tells us throughout the gospel what that life looks like, for it is indeed a way of life. And it is rooted in, first, loving God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and loving our neighbor as ourself. Love is that call of how we are to live. Love bears the visible fruits, fruits that are rooted in the kingdom of God, fruits such as rejecting bad behavior, fruits such as loving our enemies, fruits such as forgiving others, fruits such as having strong faith in Jesus, that we faithfully follow Jesus where he leads us. Living this way is our call in this life, and it prepares us for life in the next. Our lesson from Amos has a similar message, a call to a particular way of life, although it begins in an awfully frightening way. For Amos says, "The day of the Lord is darkness and gloom, it is not light." And this terrible, frightening image of being someone who's on the run, fleeing from a bear, only to come upon a lion. It doesn't sound like a day I want. So Amos is calling the people to something deeper. For he even says to them that God does not appreciate their worship. In fact, God hates their festivals, despises their offerings, finds their music to be sheer noise. This really seems hardly good news. The day of the Lord does not sound, according to Amos, what the people imagined it would be. The day of the Lord is supposed to be that day that God comes and defeats all their enemies. It's a day of light and joy. But the problem is, the people have not been living as God asked them to, as God commanded them to. And so Amos, on God's behalf, is pronouncing judgment, is issuing a call to the people to change their ways. Though the people worship God in the prescribed ways, though they worship God with elaborate ritual and beautiful music, they forget what they're supposed to do after that. They oppress the poor. They forget to care for those who are in need. And so God is saying, I reject your worship because you're not living the life I've called you to live. The life I call you to is not only about worship. And so Amos reminds the people that God requires of them to live by justice and to live by righteousness. So Amos is reminding the people that ritual without action is meaningless to God. The worship of God includes offering God ritual, even offering God beautiful music. But it also requires working for justice, for laboring for what is right, for what is in accord with God's will and intention for humanity, for creation. And it's to live by righteousness, which is right relationship with God and neighbor and ourselves. And so Amos and Matthew are both reminding us that God does indeed love us and that God is faithful to us, but also that God asks a lot of us, calls us to live a demanding way of life, a life that does ultimately lead us into abundant life, life in communion with God. Life by which we are incorporated into the very life of the Trinity, into that community of God. A life where we share in God's divine life, a divine life which is love. We are, this Sunday, in the middle of our pledge campaign. Our in-gathering is next Sunday when the vestry hopes you will bring back your pledge cards. And at one level, this is a practical matter. Committing support to the parish in the coming year through sharing time, talent, and treasure, knowing ahead what you are offering to do helps the vestry in planning for 2018. But pledging is more than that practical matter. It's offering to share our time, our talent, our treasure in a holy action. It's rooted in this life to which God calls us. It's part of the action to which God calls us. For God calls us to be generous with what God has given us. God lovingly gives us all that we have and then trusts it to our care and calls us to be good stewards, to give from our abundance for the care of others. Here at the Church of the Redeemer, I'm about to make an understatement, we have many opportunities for worship, I think just to last week. And that's a wonderful thing. But there's also a danger in that, that we can think about worship being our only task. It is our primary call. But it's not our only. but it is a foundation for our life. It's a starting point, not an end point. And it is one which impels us out into the world. It's no accident that every Eucharist ends with the final words, a dismissal. The prayer book says, the deacon says it, that ministry, that order of ministry that has special connection to the needs of the world. And the dismissal is something like, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. We begin by worshiping, but our worship ends with our being sent out by God to do the work God has given us to do in the world. And so, the resources that you so generously share in giving to the parish make possible that work in the world, make possible our mission and ministry. A mission and ministry that touches the neighborhood and the world. Through your generosity, we worship in this 100-year-old building, that visible sign of our presence in the neighborhood, a place where we gather to worship God, a place where all are welcomed, a place where we gather to study, where groups are welcomed, such as AA groups and the Girl Scouts and several community music groups. And our life touches the world through the ministry of African Team Ministries, through the United Thank Offering, and even through our own Alexa, who spent time in Costa Rica. And you'll hear about that today during coffee hour. She's going to share her story in some slides. And our life, of course, touches our neighborhood through our involvement with Camp Street Ministries, St. Mary's Home for Children, the Eastside Community Alliance, where relationships are being built across the dividing lines of our culture. And even our brand new Circle of Hope Youth Choir, just unveiled this week and about to start in December. God has abundantly blessed us in this parish. God has given us also all we need to answer God's call. And so we are called to, by God, to be a people gathered in worship, whose primary task is to worship God, but that worship then continues in being sent out by God to serve all in Jesus' name, serving especially the least and the powerless and the forgotten. And so may we live by the power of the Holy Spirit. May we live by worshiping God through our liturgy and our beautiful music. And may we also worship God by going out into the world, serving all in God's name. We do live in unsettling and scary times, but the promise is God is always with us, and that God's love is stronger than any of the powers of this world. May we be faithful in working for God's kingdom, doing that challenging work that God calls us to do, that through our witness the world will come to know the promises of God, and know that invitation that God extends to life abundant for those who watch, who are ready, who are able to accept the invitation. Amen.